Very good morning to you, and welcome to Down to Brass Tacks for Wednesday, March the 17th, 2021. My name is Glenn Murray, and I will be your moderator for today's program in the goodly company of the one and only Dennis Johnson, who is producer and technical operator. Remember, our standard call numbers are 434-1790. And you can also access us at 266-4862 technologically, on your higher technological rate. Today is a day which is chock full of potential issues. And I have my share of it, some of which I'll mention fairly soon. But before I do that, I'd like to seize this opportunity to join with all those who have spoken before in different media, and also seek to represent what I think would be the views and wishes of the Brass Tacks family and of Starcom Network, to pass on our sincerest condolences to the family of the late Sir Courtney Blackmon, distinguished governor of the Central Bank of Barbados, to his wife Gloria, and his children and all relatives. We say our deepest sympathies, and we are proud of his contribution to Barbadian society, especially the Central Bank, which I believe will live on in the annals of history as time progresses. If I might say a few words about Dr. Blackmon myself, Dr. Blackmon was, like I said, distinguished, and his passing means that he's joined a long list of distinguished public servants in Barbados, whose contributions we are not often referred to, but whose enduring contribution can be seen in the institutional and physical and social and economic and political development of Barbados over the years. I would make mention of such persons as Sir Neville Osborne, Sir Carl Burton, Algie Simmons, Branston Cullimore, Sir Harcourt Lewis, and those have all passed on. But I'm pleased to say that another distinguished person of that caliber would be Sir Steve Emptich, who is still with us. And I mention that because not very often we get a chance to recognize the contribution of our public servants. We take the public service for granted. We often criticize it for the bureaucracies and its inefficiencies. But from time to time, as I reflect, I'd say that apart from the political leaders and the ministers and the politicians who've devised policy, taken it to Parliament, and seen it through to realization for the public development, the other segment of society, which has made market contribution to Barbados' development, will be our public service, our civil service, whichever term we use. Our folks whose skills and devotion and commitment, we would not have been able to be where we are today. And if you don't mean in that remark, I hate to say it, but just look next door to Haiti. Haiti's development has been curtailed no end up, apart from any political or historical factors, by the lack of viable institutions with credible, trained, talented persons who can contribute to them, to this development. And therefore, I also mentioned that Sir Courtney was a raconteur of class, one who tells stories. If you met him, he was not only a distinguished governor of Central Bank and an economist and management guru, et cetera, but he was a person with personality. And while he was called governor, he did not in any way exhibit those traits that we would have seen in our colonial rulers and masters and governors. He was a governor in the sense that that was the title he represented, but his personality, he was a hail fellow, well-met, very approachable, very agreeable, always had a story to tell, and especially a joke, and had a great laughter could be recognized anywhere in the world. And he also brought to Barbadian understanding and appreciation the fact that and understand the pressure of economics and finances and government finances in a way that had not been done before. He helped to therefore give us economic literacy in a way too, I think, which contributed to by the late Tom Adams, who himself was Minister of Finance and a former Prime Minister of Barbados. He helped to transform Barbados. He helped to transform Bridgetown, particularly with the erection of the Central Bank of Barbados, which came amid much to do and annoyance and frustration and opposition and controversy. And in fact, it was so controversial that these critics would often, in very sardonic, a very sarcastic moment, refer to as Courtney's largest erection. But the Central Bank building, like the Bridgetown Harbor, like government headquarters, like the ABC Highway, major developments in Barbados came with their share of controversy. And so Courtney, because he was well educated, very sure of himself, had a determined vision for Barbados. He was really the typical Barbadian that we sought to produce over the years, who can represent Barbados himself all over the world. So he's left a great legacy. The Central Bank building has transformed that area of Bridgetown, Church Village, which used to be a very depressed area, which was probably best known for its nocturnal activities and the source of cheap sex, so to speak. And he's changed it now to a viable, attractive, livable area of which we can be proud. And therefore, when you hear the Village Green, that village refers to Church Village and all the things that that bank, Central Bank, has got to do. He's a public intellectual in the sense of the word, that he did not in the sense that he sought to confuse people with very complex concepts and long words. He's a public intellectual in his greatest sense of the word, that an intellectual discusses ideas, and he was a man of ideas, and he was not afraid of controversy. And he would even forward ideas at times which might be unpopular with the government of the day, but he was true to his class of a profession, and therefore he lived up to his calling, and he therefore was well known and respected for much more than when he was criticized for having said that he was a creature of the Ministry of Finance, not that he was a stool pigeon or that he was a lapdog or a lackey of any Minister of Finance, but that he had been appointed and therefore he would have certain commitments and responsibilities towards the Ministry of Finance. So well done, Sir Courtney, and your family can be just of you, just as proud of you as time goes on. I also want to mention that before I take our first call, that I want to say that I take off my hat to another ex-public servant who's still working in the interest of Barbados. I mean Senator Casper Franklin, for daring to and willing to be able to put not only his money in his mouth, but his reputation and all that goes with filing a case in the courts of Barbados to challenge and get a government, a legal ruling on the constitutionality of the directives given in this COVID-19 crisis, so that he can have some. He's convinced that it was not done the right way, and not all the T's were crossed and I's were dotted legally, and that basically that Barbados were subject to legal directives which had not seen the light of day of the Parliament, had not gone through Parliament, on the understanding, on the premise that only Parliament can make laws in Barbados. So I wish him luck with his suit. He has not been proven yet on these matters. I look forward to the outcome of this one. But above all, because it is a personal undertaking, a personal mission of his, because he says he believes in it, he has to finance it out of his own pockets. And I'm saying now that I'm going to provide him with some financial support. I think he needs it to make sure that any cost that may come to him, I do not follow him personally when he seeks to do good for the Barbados. And I would like to urge all those who of the same dispensation and attitude to support this valiant effort. It's not a class action suit, so therefore he has to do it all, pay for it all of his own. And I look forward to the outcome, and I'm sure it will enrich Barbadian discussion and brass hats for a time to come. That book takes up my 10 minutes of allotted time in my preamble. And therefore, I've heard 10 minutes mooted by other moderators. So I've never been told so, but I assume so, and I just want to phone in line. Plus, I don't want to bore you up so early in the meeting. Again, welcome to Brass Tacks. 4341790 is our call number, and our WhatsApp number is 266-4862. Can we go to the first call, Dennis?
Yeah, good morning, sir.
I'm good. Yourself? Are you doing too?
Hello?
Yes, good morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Murray.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
Okay. I'm all right. I want to wish you well. I wasn't hearing you well, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right. Are you hearing me better now?
Yeah, I can hear you a lot better.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, I want to wish you well, sir. And
Thank you.
I must support what you said about Mr. Franklin. He's one of those gentlemen that I really admire a lot. I have great respect for Mr. Franklin. I like to hear him.
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm listening to you.
Yes. Sir, my man, I have a few things to discuss, but my main one this morning is dealing with the port. I work in the port. I freight in the port.
I recognize his voice, yes, as well.
Right.
These were the port, right.
Yes. Now, I stopped home for this reason this morning to call. Now, I deal with personal effects, which is my life. That is what I do. What they have done, last year I was speaking to Mr. Ellis about this. He seems not to understand what I was telling him. What there started last week in a hurry, and they didn't notify the public about it. There, if your family members or you send in stuff from overseas, which you pay the freight from New York, wherever it is, to get it to Barbados, you pay freight. You're following me?
Yeah, I'm following you. Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Right. What they are doing now is the charges that customs will charge you for your goods, they are adding the freight to it, which is going to cost you more money. Now, normally, a barrel with personal effects will cost you about $92, depends on what officer sees and whatever it is. That same barrel now is going to cost you $196. Yesterday, I had a classic example, a barrel that I would normally pay like $92 for. That same barrel now costing me $196.
Because they have added in the freight costs?
Yes.
And that freight you're saying would have been paid abroad before?
Pardon me?
You're saying that freight would have been paid before?
Yes, you, whoever sent it in for you would have paid the freight from overseas to get it here. So when you go to the local agent here, all you would have to pay is the documents, which varies from whoever you might go to. What they are doing now, this is an additional cost.
How have they justified it? What explanation? Have you challenged it with them and asked them for an explanation?
But nobody seems to want to give you all you're hearing is that this is what they're going to do. It is never official. Nobody corresponds with you to tell you, well, as from next week, this is going to be happening so you can prepare yourself for it. And eventually, it is going to affect me. A lot of truckers talk, but they don't want to come out and be bold enough to let people. But I am not afraid because it is going to affect my livelihood. And I speak honestly and upfront. I do not want nothing from a politician. In other words, if you put me out of work, you cannot support me. Because
I don't see the relationship between that and your subject, if I may say.
No, what I'm trying to tell you, what I want to explain to you, is eventually I will not be getting work as I accustomed, because when people say, well, they're not going to bring in stuff anymore. Okay. What am I going to do?
I got you. I see what you mean.
That is what I wanted to explain to you, because eventually a person is going to say, well, this is going to cost me too much.
Okay. Okay. If I might interject, if I might, have you or your fellow truckers sought to come together as a group and make a joint approach to the port for an explanation and justification of this, or what you say is not happening for the
this
change?
This is not the port, you know. This is not the port. This has nothing to do with the port.
Or this is customs?
This is what government intends to do. This is what they are pushing on the people. This is what...
And government meaning the customs?
Well, yeah, that would be a part of government.
The port is part of government too. The port is a government company.
Yeah, but this is nothing to do with the port.
So it has to be customs then?
Yes.
Okay. And but my question...
It will be bigger than who is in charge.
My question still is, I've heard you speak about this at least twice. What have you done since then to seek to bring about, to rectify the situation, to clarify it, so you have a better appreciation as to what is being done? What steps have you taken?
You want me to be honest with you? Whenever you call these people that you want to sit down and talk with them or find out, you know what? It's never convenient for them. You know, it is never convenient. And
that's a very broad statement.
Hold on a minute, sir. Whenever you want, in other words, I'm not saying all, but they're looked down upon truckers as Maui on a body.
Man, you're making some assumptions that. Let's stick to the topic.
Mr. Murray, I know what I'm talking about.
How can you say they look down on you and what the way they look at you, their words, how they treat you, or what?
Mr. Murray, I am in this. And most of the times when you try to explain to people, they always try to make you believe. I am fully aware of what I am telling you, Mr. Murray.
Fair enough.
I am calling because I can talk. I call in because I know how they're looked down on other people. They figure, oh, my, you know what I'm saying? But you know, without a trucker, you know, niggas don't come out the port.
Understood. But I'm still trying to find, have you ever written them a letter? Have you or your group, for example, gotten together as a group and approached, if you can't get a meeting through a phone call, why don't you write a letter like other people do, send an email letter, whatever, and make connection so you can have, first of all, you'd have your concerns on record, you'd have a paper trail of it, and then seek to have redress through it.
I am one that is willing to do it. But over the years, I know how our people operate. We give you their back.
In the same way that you said that you admired and supported Caswell Frank from his one-man effort on behalf of Barbadians and regard the COVID directives, why don't you follow his example, a man whom you say you admire so much, and write on behalf of yourself and possibly their churches, but do you do it for yourself? What's wrong with that?
Well, I am prepared to do it. I am going to do it. Believe me, right. I'm going to do it.
Because well, you do it and call
us. I don't need a group to help me because when I'm ready, I go forward. I don't want to sound unusual. I go forward for myself, but at the same time, it benefits other people.
I understand. All right. But listen, why don't you write the letter and come back to Brass Tacks and tell us what progress you've made? Let us know you've sent the letter. If possibly a few days after you think it would have been received, you can give us some insights into what is the letter and then see what develops from there so you can use this forum to hopefully resolve the issue for you and the other truckers. Thank you for calling, sir. Good morning and welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Come in, please.
Good morning, Mr. Murray.
Good morning, ma'am.
How are you doing?
I am good. Yourself?
Fine, thank you.
Good to hear you.
I hear more of your voice, too, on the radio.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure you will from time to time. But it's always good to hear your voice when I'm on the air, too.
Oh, thank you.
Good.
Mr. Murray, I don't know about you, but I smell something fishy. It seems like election coming early.
Why do you say so?
I observing. That just me say it. That just me.
Tell me what you have observed to see whether I might agree with you or I might add my observation to your observations, and then we have a better picture.
Well, but some of the radio stations, some radio stations operating different. Okay, let me start. I love to hear Mr. P, right? I love to hear Mr. P. As we as regular callers is who made brass stats, not the moderators, is the regular callers. And without the regular callers, there's no brass stats. So I don't know why some people going after Mr. P. I mean, we as callers call the show. I mean, they don't want you to talk about certain things. You can't call. I should talk about calling somebody and you just get cut. When the callers talking, you hear moderators talking over them. And when you want to go to another issue, you are being cut off. And you then you wait to develop another issue, you're cut and you're gone. That's bad manners.
You are being so general and vague and wild that I'd have to try to remember hundreds of programs to know which one you're probably talking about. But then go ahead.
I observed that last week and some other weeks before. Ah, the callers thing, the moderator taking over the show is talking. So, I didn't mean you. So, but I mean some moderator talking. And then when the caller have to call it a short time, and then after the cut and gone.
I admire you for the acute ways in which you argue and angles that you give to things. I appreciate it because very often it's something that might very many people have not gone the same route. But I'm finding it a little difficult to understand how what you've said about persons, some moderators cutting off persons, callers, what that has to do with indicating that an election is in the air.
Well, as I said, I love Mr. Murray, I'm seeing things happening, and like on certain stations, they are putting shows in place that you cannot talk about what happening in the country, about issues that happening in the country.
Of course, you don't mean.
That is my
You don't mean brass stacks.
I don't mean brass stacks. I say some station. I ain't calling no names. Who the captain let them read here? Who the captain let them read?
All right, that's it for today.
Pardon me?
Is that it for today or you got something else to talk about?
No, that is all. Another thing. I heard people talking about this solitary confinement, right? But I mean, but you know, with the young lady. So I want to know. And did the girl have a mental illness? That's my question. Okay?
I think you're raising some interesting questions. Because I myself was wondering what was the process that was undertaken. Undertaken by whom to determine that somebody had a possible mental condition that justified or required them to be treated in such a manner. I just wonder who evaluated it, who met with her, what were their qualifications to determine it, what was the evidence drawn upon to take it to that step.
Right.
That is what I would like to know about. And apart from that, I didn't quite understand. I came away having observed Minister Abrams' presentation on the photograph and the invasion of privacy of the young lady in question, which I agree with. There should have been no photograph taken at all. If I don't think photographs are usually allowed within those institutions, period, very, very selected areas. But I figured that he came across as, it might not have been his intention, but he came across as being more worked up and concerned about the photograph and it making its way into social media than the fact that the exposure given to the condition of the young lady and the process and the conditions in that instance are probably the GIS in general. And I wonder, because we're not talking about eradication of or attempts to eradicate corruption. We're talking about anti-corruption legislation. We're talking about whistleblower. And this, to my mind, the person who took that photograph, even though it might not, to me, was serving the person. I don't think that it was... from what I've heard about it, I haven't seen the photograph myself. It was anything salacious or pornographic. They might have just wanted to expose the situation to the public and to the authorities. Therefore, I see that as a form of whistleblowing.
Okay. All right, Mr. Morita, all I have to say.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for calling.